So, our covenant is to be a loving, joyful community that nurtures spiritual growth and promotes compassion, social responsibility, and service in an atmosphere of mutual trust. Our mission is to be a faith community devoted to love and respect, reason, and justice. And our vision is to be a dynamic community supporting the spiritual health of Meadville and the surrounding area. And as you know, we recite this at the beginning of every service. We also do it at the beginning of every board meeting. And every time we read this, I'm always caught by the phrase, supporting the spiritual health of Meadville and the surrounding area. I really love that phrase. I think I may have been a part of the group that put it together. So not surprising that I really like it. But I have to admit, until this week when I was thinking about this, I'm not sure I actually ever really thought through what it actually means to support the spiritual health of a community. So that's what I want to talk about. And just to give you context, the reason I'm up here for this service is that the board was meeting a month or two ago, and we were talking about the amazing success of Soup on Saturday, which is held over in the parish house. Like many things that we do in this congregation, you know, the idea came from an individual, and people stepped up, and they started supporting it, and all kinds of things have happened. Jody, of course, who works in the office, is the main person who spearheaded this. And one of the things that happens, though, is that when somebody has an idea and people step up, without that key person, it can be difficult to keep the energy going. And so part of what we were thinking at the board was like, well, how much ownership does the congregation have over this? We like it. We're glad it's there. Is it something that we as a group want to support, or are we going to depend on the energy of a few people to keep it going? And this is the same with the soup kitchen at Stone United Methodist. It's the same as True of Coffee Hour. It's the same as True of Ushers. The pledge drive. There's all kinds of things that we do that, because we're a small community, end up depending on a few individuals. And because we are who we are, we always get it done. One way or another, somebody will step up, somebody will make it happen. I'm thinking of last week, and we didn't have anybody sign up for coffee hour, and we went over there, and you should have seen all of the people here with 197 years of education between us trying to figure out how to turn on the coffee pot. It was actually quite inspirational. I don't even know if they ever succeeded, but it was very inspirational. But the thing is, and I'm sure you know this, the people who step up over and over again can get burned out. And that can't be very spiritually healthy, I don't think. And so the dynamic that I want to talk about a little bit today is the vision statement, supporting the spiritual health of Meadville and the surrounding area, is kind of obviously a commitment towards service outwards. But I think in any kind of service, doesn't matter whether you're doing social justice or you're taking care of a sick child, it's very hard to be of true service if you feel burned out or if somehow you feel inadequate to the task. So what I'm going to do is here in the next few minutes, I'll tell you what I think spiritual health is, my opinion, you don't have to believe me. And then, spoiler alert, the conclusion is going to be that in order to support the spiritual health of others, you have to nurture your own spiritual well-being. So, I personally would define spirituality as having to do with finding and experiencing, also, the dimensions of life that don't wax and wane with the sort of everyday ups and downs, the things that happen. So I mean, we know we're all going to face challenges. We're going to experience illness and aging, eventually death. Depending on our station in life and the randomness of things or the privileges that we've inherited, you know, we'll face economic challenges or work challenges. Everybody faces the complexity of living with each other. So the spiritual dimension of life, I think, is something that we find that we can rely on, or we can touch, or we can let fill us, that doesn't depend on the success or failure of anything that is happening in our outward lives. So the search for that level of being, the level of being that transcends the day-to-day, that's always accessible, and that's a constant underneath everything that's ever changing, to me, that's what spirituality is. It's that search for that dimension of life. And as you well know, I mean, you can We can use our minds to try to express in words what that dimension is. It's always going to be an approximation. Some people use religious language, you know, God and the Spirit and the universal self. Other people use secular language, talk about morality or human rights or compassion. I like religious language myself because it evokes a sense of the Spirit. I know for some people, religious language evokes a sense of being whacked upside the head by a nun in school, so you know it doesn't do the same thing for them. I don't think it matters because the language is always an approximation. But having spiritual health means being in a position psychologically, socially, economically, politically, so that you can engage in that search, so that you can reach out and see if that ineffable dimension of life can help fill you or inspire you when times are difficult. So if we're going to support the spiritual health of Meadville and the surrounding area, then that means we're going to try and make sure that those conditions are present. So if people are feeling unworthy, we're going to try to help them feel better about themselves. If they're hungry or they're unhoused, we're going to try to feed them and find them a place to be. And if they're being told what to believe and what to feel and what to value or made to experience that they can't speak up without fear of consequences, then we address those conditions on the political level. And I think it's pretty clear to me, but I'll say it anyway just to make sure it's clear, that supporting the spiritual health of others doesn't mean fixing them. It doesn't mean berating them, judging them, telling them they should live or run their lives. It means finding ways to listen, to understand them, to learn the ways in which, despite our many differences, we all have similarities. I remember a bunch of years ago, back when I was a faculty member, I was doing a research project on spirituality in Meadville, and I interviewed this guy who told me about how he would drive around in his pickup truck. And as he was driving, Jesus would come and sit with him in the passenger seat, and they'd have these long conversations. And I just think, cool, you know? I mean, that's not going to happen to me. I would never voluntarily drive a pickup truck. I haven't had the experience of Jesus coming to me, though I would welcome it if it did. But, you know, I can definitely relate. I mean, I've had experiences where I suddenly feel like, whoa, something is different about this moment. I'm in connection with something greater than me. Just a real small example was I was in a play up at Allegheny one time. It's The Importance of Being Earnest. For those of you who know, I was Reverend Chasuble. And we were in the last scene, and all the things are being revealed, and the books being pulled off the shelf, and all of that stuff. And I didn't have very many lines, so I was just standing there, looking attentive, I suppose. And usually when you're on stage, you can't see the audience because the lights are in your eyes, but I just suddenly caught sight of like the first two rows, and I just got hit with this realization that I was engaging in one of the most ancient human rituals, playing in a play. I pretend to be somebody, you listen, and pretend to believe that I'm that person for this period. I mean, it was like somehow at that moment I felt like, wow, I'm a part of this lineage. I am a part of something that's much bigger than me. It was a really profound experience, and I don't think it's that different from what the experience the guy had in the truck. We conceptualize them differently, but it's an experience of touching something that's bigger. So when we talk about supporting the spiritual health of Meadville and the surrounding area, we're talking about supporting people's explorations into that realm, into the place that can give us support when life careens off in directions that are unexpected or frightening. And the other half of the equation now that I warned you about, doing good deeds is not a substitute for tending to our own spiritual health. In fact, I think actually, again, you don't have to believe me, but I think you can't really do service. You can't really be selfless. You can't really be helpful to others if you're underneath, you're fighting with yourself. If you feel deep down that you're unworthy, you can't do an end run around grace by trying to do good to others. And I'll explain this a little bit. I think feeling inadequate or unworthy or bad or wrong, that's part of the human condition. Right? I mean, it's codified in the story of original sin and in the Jewish Bible, but I don't think that story caused that feeling of unworthiness. I think the story of the Garden of Eden and original sin is a literary reflection of a reality that we all carry with us. So at some level, we're all going to be dealing at times with a sense of feeling inadequate or feeling fake or not deserving or worthless. And so that's just part of being human. But it's tricky. We have to be careful about how we deal with that. I mean, I think we need to deal with it head on. Because if we deal with it by trying to be good and do service, what we end up is making our self-esteem dependent on whether the person we're trying to help wants our help or does what we ask them to do or accepts our blessings. In some ways, we kind of can end up demanding that they do this, because if they don't, we're left with a sense of inadequacy that we started with. So in a sense, we end up using people to help ourselves feel better. So there'll be strings attached, whether we realize it or not. So I think to be of service and really to nurture the spiritual health of others, we need to address those feelings of inadequacy and lack, even as we recognize we're always going to have them until the day we die, because it's part of being human. That's the paradox. And I think this is at the heart of every major religion that I know of, anyway. How can we accept that we're whole, that we're perfect, that we're part of something bigger, that we're magnificent, that we're divine in some level, when we know from our own experience how limited and flawed and petulant and small-minded and fragile we really are? That's the paradox that's at the heart of all of it. And I don't have any easy answers. Religious scholars have been grappling with for centuries and millennia of this, but I have at least what I think is a roadmap that I use, at least some stations along the way, and I offer them to you. I mean, I do think it's useful to listen to the words of spiritual traditions and people who resonate with us. You know, spiritual traditions that tell us that we are all, to use religious language, saved, that we're all children of God or the universe, we're all part of the greater whole, whichever way you want to put it. I think that any religious teaching worth listening to is going to talk about the inherent worth and dignity of every human being. And if you open yourselves to those traditions that are inclusive, I think you'll find words, experiences, and energies there that will help open you up. I would also stay away from any tradition that promises your salvation at the expense of someone else's. That's my brief definition of Unitarian Universalism there, if you didn't catch that. The second thing I think we can do, and this is a practice, it's to pay attention to those moments in life when blessings are offered to us. So it might be just, you know, when you leave, the warmth of the air on this amazing day. It could be the taste of a fresh carrot. You know, it could be the presence in your life of someone you love or a beloved pet. If you look for blessings, you'll find them. And when you open yourself to them, it reminds you that there is a whole dimension of life that is miraculous and that is yours, unearned, that you can drink it in whenever that is presented to you. That's just true. And third, which I think is related, you can accept the generosity of others that's offered to you. So if someone wants to give you a compliment, I say let them. If they want to help you, let them. In some ways, you're giving them a gift, because it's so nice to give compliments and to help people. Now, if there are strings attached, you know, if they're trying to get something out of you, that's a different story. But, you know, if someone is really honestly coming to you with something honest that they want to tell you, a blessing they want to give you one way or another, I say, open yourself up, accept it. Because what that does is that teaches you that level of you that really is deserving. Again, not by anything you did or earned, just because you are. And I think that if you do these things, I think, test it out and see if it works for you, but I think you'll be led inexorably to the understanding that really fundamentally No matter how different we are from each other, from all the people you see, there are some even deeper ways in which we're similar. We're all looking for expansion and getting contraction. We experience joy and grief. We're looking for love and to be loved. And I think, again, try it out for yourselves, that if you begin to breathe all of this in, you're going to find yourself having the impulse to be generous towards others with your time, your energy, your money, your attention, and it's going to feel great. Right? You will be naturally generous, and you will be supporting the spiritual health of your neighbors in Meadville and the surrounding community. Because it's true, offering blessings and service is one of the most powerful ways of creating a real and deep, powerful spiritual life. Especially, and maybe exclusively, when it comes from a place of having love and compassion also for yourself. That's why it's in our vision statement. Something to aspire to, something to practice, something to breathe in and to breathe out. So let's treat each other just that way. May it be so, and amen.